At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A warm up from Evo. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Jessica Seeps with myself, Greg Eeps Peterson. Now part of the Neeson Family Podcast, we've got a tremendous podcast for you guys. In segment number two, our good friend Jim Root of the Three Man Weave is going to be joining me. We're going to be taking a look at the marquee Big 12 games for this Monday. We're going to recap what we all saw over the weekend, the trend of us not necessarily having top teams in college basketball. Also going to be taking a look at how he's been gauging more of the overs that we've been seeing. You're going to hear it here in the first segment that we have been seeing quite a few overs recently in college basketball and how he's been adjusting some of his numbers, because both of us are guys that do look a little bit more at the unders. So we're going to be discussing that and so much more in segment number two. In the final segment, going to give you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this college basketball Monday as we hit some bank shots. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters CM, name does not matter. As per usual, please send these into the timeline. And the other way, that's fine, an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did not get in any Twitter questions today, but we had a fun day of college basketball on Sunday, so let's take a look back at it. Try to find some trends and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
The player of the year race just continues to get more and more lopsided. Purdue, they win, they cover against Michigan State by a count of 77-61, and Zach Edey was a man possessed in this game. 38 points, 13 rebounds, and a trio of steals. He completely dominated this game. Nobody else for Purdue in the starting lineup had more than 9 points. You did have David Jenkins coming off the bench for 11, but he just completely manhandled this game. Michigan State lost the rebound battle by a count of 37-26. As for Michigan State, they were forced into 14 turnovers. A.J. Hogarth had 20 points, but Purdue, a team that's honestly not been really a great cover team, they've been able to win a lot of these games straight up, but not necessarily by margin. They were able to do so very easily in this one. The woes of Villanova continue. Villanova now 7-14 against the spread. They lose to Providence by a count of 70-65 on their home floor, as Jared Bynum was the big reason why Providence was able to get the job done in what was very much a nip and tuck game all throughout. Bynum, 19 points. He's had a tough time shooting from three all season long, but he comes in off the bench, goes 3-4 from 3-point range, 7-8 overall from the floor against the Villanova team that, well, their defense has been very shaky. Cam Whitmore, he had a nice game for Villanova in this one, 21 points, 9 rebounds, and Villanova, they win the turnover battle by a count of 8-9, but for Providence, they just had the best player out there on the floor in Jared Bynum take things over. Well, typically not the best player on the floor, but on this day, he was certainly the best player on the floor. And for Providence, they have now covered 6 out of their last 8 games within conference play. So they've been looking solid there. Penn State has been looking very solid as well. They take it to Michigan by a count of 83-61 for Michigan. Not a lot doing for them. You did have Jet Howard be able to contribute 21 points in this one. For Jet Howard, he was missing in the team's previous game, in which a loss against Purdue. He came back, he looked rock solid. But Hunter Dickinson, 6 points, 2 rebounds. It was not a savory performance for him. Terrence Williams, he chips in their 7 points as well. Penn State was able to completely neutralize everything that Michigan was looking to do down low, and they went 13 of 30 from 3-point range. Jalen Pickett needs All-American consideration, 25 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. He was absolutely tremendous in this game. Penn State They turned the ball over just 9 times. They win the rebound battle 36-27. Just all Penn State in this one. You did also notice that Iona, they very nearly got the cover. It's been a less than savory year against the spread for them, especially in conference, but they were able to get the win against Quinnipiac by a count of 78-72. Closing line was 8. And this was a game that was on 8 with, I would say, like 10 or so seconds remaining before Quinnipiac threw the ball in the basket, but should have never been this big of a spread, if you ask me, because you saw Quinnipiac be up 17-2 to begin the game, and then all of a sudden, things became an almighty slog in this one, as for Iona, they were able to have Walter Clayton bust out for 17 points. Iona goes just 8 of 24 from 3-point range, but that said, what they did a very solid job of was being able to get second chances. They had 17 offensive rebounds, and they won the turnover battle by a count of 17-10. So Iona, they're able to get up off the mat. They're able to get the outright win, but they do not get a cover on the closing number on this one. A team that has not gotten a lot of covers all season long, and in most places, this was a push. If you got a 12.5, you did get a cover with Tulsa. They lose to Memphis by a count of 80-68, and Tulsa, they were pretty much tied up at the half, and they were right there with 10 to 12 minutes remaining before Memphis was able to pull away late for Tulsa. They go just 7 to 26 from 3-point range. They did have Tim Dahlgren chip in their 17 points. That was very helpful for them, and for Memphis, Kendrick Davis continues to be amazing. 26 points, 5 assists, but on a lot of numbers, this is going to go down as a push, and that means that Tulsa, still your worst cover 8 team in all of college basketball. Under most closing numbers, 3-15-2 against the spread. For some of you guys, 4-15-1 against the spread, but certainly less than savory there. This was less than savory for a team that's been able to be one of your better moneymakers out there in UNC Greensboro. They lose to Furman by a count of 69-57. It was just all Furman all along in this game. As for Furman, they were able to do a nice job with JP Peaks being able to chip in their 17 points, and team as a whole, they go 8 of 17 from 3-point range. Peaks went 7 of 11 at the free throw line. He's always open for production and for UNC Greensboro. They just weren't able to get a lot going from the outside, 2 of 12 from 3-point range. Now, also note that for UNC Greensboro, they were a little bit short-handed in this game as their top scorer in Keyshawn Langley, he came in off the bench. I have no idea why they tried this out. Typically, he's in the starting lineup. He had 26 minutes. He contributed just 4 points. We shall see if they're looking to do that moving forward, because this was a big giant stink burger for them. Drake, they were able to hand Belmont a big giant stink burger, 79-61. Drake able to get a very convincing win as Belmont, a team that entered in this game shooting about 40% from 3, went 1 of 16 from distance. It's a Drake team that ranks in the top 45 nationally in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. Just completely put the clamps down on them. Ben Shepard still got his 21 points, but past that, not a lot doing. And then you had Roman Penn along Garrett Sturts combined for 32 points, 9 assists. Very impressive showing by Drake as they were able to get a very convincing win, and they were able to get a pretty easy cover. Bradley has been one of your better cover 8 teams this season, but all of a sudden Bradley has been playing quite a few more overs. They were an under machine to begin the season. They have now played, I believe if my math is correct, each out of their last 7 games to the over, 83-76 final in this one. They might have had a stray under somewhere along the way, but for Bradley, 11 of 23 from 3-point range. UIC, they go 9 of 24 from the outside with Jace Carter chipping in their 25 points, 10 rebounds, and something that I am going to be talking with our good friend Jim Root about a little bit more is the offensive efficiency that we are seeing. All of a sudden, we're seeing more efficiency betting on Georgetown. Georgetown, all of a sudden, has been able to cover 4 straight games. They lose to St. John's. If you saw me tweet out when I live bet St. John's in this game, that was able to get through for you. But 75-73, a nip and tuck game. As for Georgetown, they hold in there because Primo Spears, 25 points. Now Georgetown, they had a nice second half lead that they did like get away as they were up 64-55 with about 8 or so minutes remaining in the second half. So That was one that they weren't able to get to the window. So you always want to be live betting against Georgetown because they can't seem to close out games. That's a big reason why they couldn't close out Joel Soriano. 12 points, 15 rebounds for St. John's. St. John's was able to win the turnover battle by kind of 15-12. And for Georgetown, they were able to get quite a bit out of Brendan Murray as well. He chipped in their 17 points, but that said, St. John's just a little bit too much onions at the end. A.J. Storr had a very big three late in this game for St. John's. So they get the outright win, but Georgetown all of a sudden is able to do a better job of being able to get covers. The DKNH pick of Rutgers, unfortunately, did not get to the window as Iowa, they were able to get it done 93-82, and Iowa has scored at least 85 points in every single one of their home games thus far this season. It has been relatively incredible what we've been seeing there in Rutgers. They're now 14-7 against the spread, so they've still been a pretty rock-solid cover team, but that said, they just couldn't guard the three-point arc in this one. Iowa, 12 of 24 from three-point range, a complete sizzler, and they won their turnover battle 18-12. When you allow a team to go 12 of 24 from three and you lose the turnover battle, not so savory there. And also for Iowa, 29 of 34 at the free throw line. It toasts a 11-point, 13-assist game that Paul Mukhe had, as he was pretty terrific for Rutgers, but Rutgers unable to get this one in. Youngstown State, they were able to get this one in. They're now 14-7 against the spread. They take down Detroit by a count of 73-63. A Detroit team that has not been playing any defense whatsoever against one of the more efficient offenses in college basketball. Of them to just 73, but for Youngstown State, they've got a rarity in a top scorer in Dwayne Coyle that's shooting over 50% from three-point range. Went 4 of 7 from the outside, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. This Youngstown State team is a force, and Antoine Davis, he had just 15 points as he's looking to become the all-time leader in scoring in Division I NCAA history. He's going to really need to score a lot, as he's probably going to need to average like 36, 37 points to be able to get that moniker, but that was not necessarily what he was looking for. If you were a backer of Fairfield, this is not what you were looking for, as Fairfield, they had a double-digit lead on Ryder throughout much of the first half. Even in the second half, they were leading throughout much of it, but they lose in overtime, 78-69, as Ryder was able to get this one in, with Dwight Murray Jr. being able to contribute 18 points. And for Fairfield, they've just been a little bit of all over the place all season long, so that was a little bit less than savory for them. And if you're taking a look at college basketball right now, what has been less than savory has been unders recently. 1,876 overs to 1,799 unders overall for the season. So we have seen 51% of games overall the season go over. You've got home underdogs starting to dry up a little bit as well. They're still hitting at 52.5% against the spread for the season at 538, 486, and 21 against the spread. But if you take a look at the last 7 days in college basketball, home underdogs 51, 53, and 3 against the spread. Meanwhile, overs hitting at a 57.4% clip. 193 and 143 over the last 7 days. And then if you want to space it out a little bit more, you want to go the last 30 days to really zone in on just conference play. 805 overs to 718 unders. That is 52.9% to the over in that time span. And home underdogs, 243, 248, and 14 against the spread. They've really been struggling in conference play. Something that's never in a struggle. The gentleman of the three-man weave. It's always a pleasure to get any of those three aboard. Today, it's going to be Jim joining me coming up next. We are going to be taking a look at this topic of how to gauge all these overs. We're going to be talking about just the fact that we don't have a clear number one team in college basketball. We'll take a look at the two Big 12 games for this Monday as well. Next here on Cusco Seats with myself, Greg Eugene Peterson, now a part of the Decent Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
With myself, Greggy Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man. Jim Root does absolutely tremendous work over at the Three Man. We've taken a look at the great game of college basketball, and to be able to follow that fine outlet, that is at the number 3MW underscore CBB. I know that they've been doing a lot of shows over there at Action Network, Field of 68, a little bit of written work being done as well. And Jim, much like myself, is in the Circus Sports College Hoops Challenge, and myself and Jim are laying waste to everyone right now. Hopefully I didn't put an X on us, but Jim is sitting at number 1 at 8-1-1. I'm sitting at a very close number 2 at 8-2, so it's going to be an exciting battle moving forward. And to be able to follow Jim on Twitter, that is at Second Chance Points, as number 2 ND Chance Points all together. And Jim, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Great to be here, Greg. Yeah, we are locked in an epic battle here. The field will catch up to us sooner rather than later, and it's a long ways to go. 7 more days to pick our 5 selections, but have to be pleased with the start. We're in solid shape.
Yep, absolutely. And if either of us, when it's all said and done, hits north of 80%, yeah, you will have earned that victory, because, man, it is hard to do, whether the sample size is one day or the sample size is a few weeks, because what we're doing right now is not necessarily what should be expected. But with that said, Jim, it has been a very interesting college basketball season, to say the least, and it just continues to be the theme. There's just not really a clear number one team, and I just take a look conference by conference, and there's a lot of parity out there, and I've had to go a lot more matchup based with regards to my handicapping. I'm not sure if you've had to do the same, but there's just not too many teams whatsoever where it's like, yep, on any given night, I could feel good about backing them because they're just unequivocally better. We just don't have those top teams in college basketball this year, and it's very parity driven.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even a team I've kind of been beating the drum for since the start of the year, Houston, or lost at home as a 19-point favorite last weekend. Like, every team is vulnerable to it. Purdue's been the most immune to those, like, really let down losses to this point. So I think they're justifiably number one. in the polls, top of the bracketology projections, getting the number one overall seed. But we got a long ways to go still to sort out who's going to be the actual best team. It certainly feels like a year where a lot of different teams can win it, and we won't end the tournament feeling like, oh, I don't know if the best team won, just who was playing the best in March and April is who's going to end up getting that national title. So excited for it. It's going to be a mystery as we go forward.
Absolutely. I just take a look at this entire landscape of college basketball, and it's going to be the good old boxing adage of matchups make fights for me. And what has really been working slash not working for your college handicapping recently? Because I take a look at the last 30 days in college basketball, and overs have been hitting at a relatively big rate, and it's typically the opposite of what you find, because typically when it comes to conference play, you find a lot of home underdogs being able to come through. You find a lot of unders being able to prevail as well, because typically with a little bit more familiarity, you find that teams know each other a little bit more. They're able to throttle down. We have not really seen a lot of that this year, and honestly, home underdogs have been a tad bit disappointing in recent weeks. So what have you been finding in general? Because I think that that has been something that has been a bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, I've been betting a lot of unders this year. That's kind of the reputation I've developed on our Field of 68 show, a little bit of an undertaker. And that's been tougher of this recent stretch. Efficiency has just skyrocketed. I was talking about this with Kai and Matt, the other three man weave guys, right before this call. Pace is pretty stable. It basically every day it's been hovering right around 67 possessions per game on average. Okay, that's normal. We can handle that. But efficiency, it spiked in mid-January, got up around like 105. Then the last few days have been ridiculous, like 108 on Friday, up to 106. Saturday was like 105.5 points per 100 possessions. And that's really rare in college basketball. Like, it just typically isn't that efficient. That's more like professional type stuff where shots are always going in and teams are figuring out opposing defenses. It's surprising to see in league play, like you said, the familiarity. You kind of expect that to offset maybe the slowdown in pace, but it's been hard to identify the right under spots because of that skyrocketing efficiency, and I'm trying to keep up with that in my ratings at this stage.
And how much of it do you think is a little bit more matchup based? Because I take a look at a lot of the top defenses in the country, and unfortunately they go up against one another, because a lot of the top defenses, non-conference, they belong to the Big 12, teams like Texas, Oklahoma State, TCU, Texas Tech, name your good defense here. They go up against one another, and typically a team with a relatively solid defense like they all do, they've got a pretty good offense with a lot of size, a lot of versatility as well, and I think that that has been a little bit of a reason for some of these overs as well, because you see these really good defensive metrics out of conference for a lot of these teams, but then they get pitted up against one another and something has to prevail.
Yeah, you mentioned all the good defenses in the Big 12. I think the SEC's like that. You got Tennessee, Florida, Mississippi State, Arkansas, like teams that really can lock down on that end. And then in other leagues, specifically the Big East really jumps to my mind. You've got the Xavier offense, the Creighton offense, the Marquette offense are all elite. You throw those guys together, and I know the numbers do their best, the odds makers do their best to account for that, but sometimes it has just a little more of a compounding effect when you put a bunch of great offenses against great offenses or great defenses against great defenses. I've been trying to do more of the matchup stuff. It's harder on days where there are 148 games, like a Saturday, but yeah, trying to figure out, like, is there a specific weakness that this team's going to exploit and be able to score efficiently? It's tough because I definitely like to do under total betting by pace as much as possible. And it's really been having to think a lot more about efficiency and how teams are able to score against the other one. And that has added a significant wrench into this point in the year, handicapping those totals specifically. Sides are, you know, a little different, but totals has definitely been a juggling act.
We've been seeing more teams be much more prolific from three-point range this year rather than last year. If you're shooting 33% from three-point range this year, that is below average by college basketball standards. Last year, that'd be more around probably 160th if I were to spitball a number. So that has been interesting to take a look at as well, as we've got Jim Rood, who does amazing work over at the Three Man Weave, joining me on the podcast. And Jim, we saw a absolutely rambunctious weekend in college basketball on Saturday, and really the last few weeks in general have been interesting. Have there been a couple teams, whether it be from Saturday or just the last few weeks in general, that have been catching your attention that you're either sock up or sock down on them? Like, I'll give you one from outside the SEC Big 12 Challenge. For me, Illinois going on the road, knocking off Wisconsin. That spoke to me. Matthew Meyer, his emergence for Illinois, has me feeling really good about them. And then in the SEC versus Big 12 Challenge, I do think that they were big-time beneficiaries of the injury to Mike Miles. But with that said, with Mississippi State, they've got the defense to be able to honestly win quite a few games and make some noise in March if things break right. They also have a big-time floor with how bad their offense is. But I mean, those are a few teams I took a look at and I was relatively impressed with. Are there a few that come to mind for you?
Yeah, definitely. I think Creighton and Baylor are probably the first two that come to mind in this category. Creighton just seems like they are on a rocket ship right now. They've sorted out their offensive pecking order a little bit. They're scoring more efficiently even when they don't make all their threes, which was kind of the knock I had on them early in the year, was they were streaky and it was hard to figure out when you could trust them, when you couldn't. But the defense is still there with Kalkbrenner. He provides them 80% shooting, it feels like, every night inside the arc. So that's a nice floor that he gives them. And then the young guys, the sophomores, are really blossoming right now. Shireman's given them that playmaker shooter option after transferring from South Dakota State. So I think Creighton is really trending up, and their resume stuff is going to start to catch up with their predictive analytics. I think that's going to happen over the next couple of weeks here. And then Baylor, I love them coming into the year. I thought the backcourt was just going to be unstoppable. And that's kind of what's started to happen now. They've been hyper-efficient in league play. They scored over a point per possession against Arkansas, really good defense in that SEC Big 12 challenge. The defense is still lacking a little bit. They're struggling to stop teams in the paint. It's just not a team built to have a whole lot of shot blocking. They play some smaller guards that struggle to keep guys in front. But the guards are going to be able to make plays against just about anybody. We saw that against Arkansas. We've seen it. It's Kansas, Oklahoma. I mean, they've won six in a row. The Bears are ascending back up, and I had them number two in the preseason. I don't quite have them back to number two, but powering-wise, I have them top six again. So I think the Bears and Creighton are two teams that are definitely ascending.
Yep, I like what you said about Baylor because they're going to be going on the road and facing off against Texas on Monday on a Monday slate that isn't necessarily too big, but this is one that I think is of massive intrigue. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Jim Root of the Three-Man Weave, and I take a look at this game, and what I really like here is a total under. I recognize that Texas has been playing at a little bit of a faster pace, but I have to think that Texas is going to look themselves in the mirror and be like, yeah, we've sped up, and ever since we've sped up, things have not been going well for us. Meanwhile, for Baylor, in this most recent five-game run, because they're on a six-game win streak, but last five games, I've noticed that they're playing at a pace that is about six or so possessions fewer than the rest of the year, and it's been working out relatively well for them. I'm not sure what your take is. I do think that Texas is going to be able to snap this win streak of Baylor, but that said, I do think that you're seeing Baylor turn over a little bit of a new leaf with their defense, and it's been something that's really been working out for them.
Yeah, the tempo is huge for Baylor. They're playing completely differently from a pace perspective. They had a couple slow games early in the year, the back-to-back Washington State, Northwestern State. They played barely over 60 possessions, but there's a lot of 70 or even high 70s they would get up to sometimes, and they're not getting anywhere close to that in league play. I think you can watch them and see they're making a conscious choice to play more methodically, play through their guards and let guards like out efficient teams in the half court. I think they're trying to avoid giving up too many transition opportunities defensively because the defense already has enough holes. You don't want to give up those efficient possessions. They just think they're going to be better in the half court than you are. And most of the time, they've been right. So I'm looking at the under there as well, mostly because of that pace stuff. We already discussed on this interview the efficiency that's skyrocketing. So that scares me a little bit. But just looking at KenPom's projection of 69 possessions for Baylor, Texas, I'd be shocked if it's that high. And so if you tell me I can get three less possessions than that, I've usually got to take a gamble on an under.
Yep, I totally agree with you. I've been very intrigued to take a look at Baylor, them slowing down, and I do think that that's going to be a good one. And then how do you gauge this Iowa State versus Texas Tech game that we're going to be seeing on Monday as well? Because with Texas Tech, they're a one-point underdog, and I think the big key for Iowa State is the injury to Caleb Grill. They're just not the same defense without him, and it's an Iowa State team that you know that they're not going to necessarily light it up on offense. They do a relatively solid job just in general of being able to generate steals. That is still going to be there for them, especially going up against a Texas Tech team that turns the ball over a little bit over 14 times per game. But I think the big key for Iowa State is whether or not Grill plays, because if he doesn't, I think that they're in fear of taking another loss.
Yeah, it's a tough one to handicap because of the injuries on both sides. Grill's, I think, enormous, both defensively, like you mentioned, and then it's not a team loaded with shooting. He's the kind of guy that really pulls attention away from other people, opens more driving lanes for Lipsey and Holmes to get into because of the gravity of his shooting ability. Then on the Texas Tech side, Pop Isaacs was out this weekend. Didn't hurt them against LSU that much, but I think that's mostly because LSU is pretty terrible right now. But no Isaacs and no IMAC really hurts them, Isaacs especially. They played a lot of games without IMAC. I think they can handle that. Bacho is a really capable replacement, but in the same way as Grill for Iowa State, Isaacs is the one like big-time floor spacer on the perimeter. He's made 47 threes in 19 games. Like, he can really light it up. And I think without him, against that Iowa State defense, Iowa State can pressure even more without fear of getting punished from beyond the arc. We'll see. Texas Tech maybe turned over a new leaf after finally getting a win after a bunch of close losses. Perhaps that'll get them going and get that home win. But if Grill's back in there, and I'm hoping he will be, I'll probably end up siding with Iowa State on that one.
I think that the big key is Grill. If Grill is back, I'm willing to side with Iowa State. I'm sort of thinking he might be out of the fold, and that would put me on Texas Tech. So I am in wait-and-see mode there. But something that I can always see is the great work of you, Jim. You do amazing work over there at the three-man weave. And all three of you guys, you along with our other good friends in Kai and Matt, all do an amazing job taking a look at the great game of college basketball. You guys do a great job with shows, podcasts, and so much more. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, you mentioned the Twitter. I appreciate that. Three Man Weave, 3MW underscore CVB. My personal handle is at Second Chance Points. It's 2ND Chance Points. And then the big stuff we're working on a lot is the shows, the daily shows we do for Field of 68 Best Bets. That is at 1 p.m. Eastern on weekdays and 11:15 a.m. Eastern on weekends, typically mostly Saturdays. We don't do a lot of Sunday shows. And then this week, we're kicking off the Big Bets on Campus show with Action Network, live show on Saturday mornings. That will be at 10:30 a.m. Central, and it's us three and Stucky from the Action Network, a very well-respected name in the college basketball betting world. So we're excited about that, carrying that show over from last year. It'll be about half hour long. We'll all get four or five bets out for the big Saturday slates, and we have a good time with it. It's a good hang on Saturday morning, so people feel free to check that out as well.
Absolutely. You guys always have a good time with that, and I have a good time whenever I'm able to get any of the gentlemen from the three-man weave aboard. And today, it was our good friend Jim who joined me. A big thanks to Jim Root of the three-man weave for joining the podcast today. Coast to Coast Hoops now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this College Basketball Monday as we hit some bank shots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It's always great to get Jim Root aboard. He does amazing work over there at the three-man weave, and really all the gentlemen over there at the three-man weave. You got Jim, Kai, and Matt. They all doing an incredible job. It's always a pleasure to get any of those three men on the podcast, as they all do tremendous work, and they all have tremendous insights. And Jim, also tearing it up in the VSiN College Basketball Picking Challenge that we've got going on right now. Myself and him are in lockstep 1-2 right now in that challenge, so it is always great to get a fellow great college basketball mind on this podcast. Big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this College Basketball Monday as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at @GNNR41. This is going to be very simple. We're going to be going with the games involving the bigger conferences first, and then here are the games that are going to be at the bottom, the MEAC, the SWAC, the Patriot League. So we're going to be going there and in time order with regards to both of those separations, as we do start off with 865-866 on the betting board. Virginia on the road against Syracuse. Syracuse open up a 4.5-point underdog. They are now a 5-point underdog with your total between 132 and 132.5. I did make Virginia a 5.5-point favorite. I'm willing to lay 5. Nothing more than 5, but I'm willing to lay 5. Last time these two teams met, Syracuse, they lost on Virginia's home floor 73-66. Got a cover, but they needed to go 8 of 14 from 3-point range to be able to do so. Now, it is a Virginia defense that isn't quite what it's been in past years. Virginia's still playing at a slow bottom 20 pace in all of college basketball, but Virginia hovering right around 41st in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. It is a Syracuse defense that they allowed 73 points the first time around, even to a Virginia team that is playing quite slowly, and for Syracuse, 159th in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. As we know, the Syracuse team, they could really be torched from the outside, as Virginia went 12-26 from 3-point range first time around with Armon Franklin, being the top scorer in that game with 16 points. And you take a look at this Virginia team, and it could be a number of guys on any given night. As Franklin right now, the top scorer, 13 points, right around a 41% three-point shooting percentage, but Reese Beekman, Kia Clark, they combine to shoot a little bit over 40% from three-point range, combining for 21.2 points. You get 11.1 assists to right around 3.6 turnovers per game out of those two gentlemen. Jaden Gardner down low, 4.5 boards, 7.5 points per game. Caden Shedrick gives you a steal and a block and a half per contest. Virginia, very much a locked and loaded team. And for Syracuse, they're playing a little bit more of a rotation this year, but it's not like they're going too deep into the bench. First time around, you did see Malik Brown have 10 points, 8 rebounds. I do think that Syracuse is going to need to get someone like him, Samir Torrance, going to be able to help out the likes of Joe Girard along Judah Mintz. These two guys have been able to combine for 32.2 points. They combine for just under 8 assists. And Girard, your main three-point shooter at 38%. Jesse Edwards, 13.5 points, 10.5 boards down low. Benny Williams is someone that like. He shoots 37% from three, 7 points per game. But that said, you've got Jesse Edwards and really not a lot down low. Meanwhile, this Virginia team, they do a good job of rebounding by committee. I do think that Virginia going to be able to buckle down a little bit more with their defense. It's been a Virginia team that has been able to do a tad bit better recently, as they've now allowed 58 points or fewer in three out of their last 5 games. In that time span, they have been able to exceed 70 points 3 times, but it's not like they're necessarily playing harebrained games. I do think that for Syracuse, they are going to have a little bit of a tough time being able to put the ball in the basket in this one. 70 points or fewer in each other last 2 games. So a circumstance where somebody told him 127.5, just with the sheer amount of possessions per game, I think that this is going to be going under. And with Virginia, 1-5 with them. 867-868 on the betting board. Chicago State, it's red face-off against the Citadel. Citadel is a favorite of 2-2.5 points. Your total on this game, you're finding it anywhere between 139.5 and 140. And it's a circumstance where I did set my number at 2. Anything above 2 is a take for me on Chicago State. Anything below 2 is me laying it with the Citadel. I'm mostly seeing 2. So I'm going to be seeing this Marinates a little bit of a 2.5 a little bit earlier. And that would be my buy point on Chicago State. This is a Citadel team that is very much on par with Chicago State in terms of defensive efficiency, in that neither of these defenses are very efficient at all. Chicago State, in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, 332nd. Meanwhile, the Citadel, 307th, but should be pointed out, the Citadel allowing more points per possession at home rather than on the road, and they really only have 2 main contributors, Stephen Clark and Austin Ash. Ash is your main three-point shooter, shooting 37.5% for distance. He and Clark combined for 31.8 points, and he combined to be able to give you about 11.5 rebounds per game. Clark has been able to give you 2.5 assists and 2 blocks as a versatile 6'7", 6'8", little bit of a combo player. But past that, nobody else on the team gives you north of 3.5 rebounds per game. You do get 1.8 steals per game out of Elijah Morgan, but this is a Citadel team that they aren't doing a great job on defense. They don't turn the ball over a lot. Chicago State, they do turn the ball over more around 13.5 times per game, as it's a Citadel team that this is no longer the days of Duggar Botcom. This is no longer going to be a circumstance where they're going to just run it and gun it down your throat. The Citadel, more of a team that is clocking in about 200th in terms of total possessions per game. Chicago State, they're about 290th. They've really slowed things down, but for Chicago State, Wesley Carter Jr., I think, is going to be the best player out there on the floor. 17 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, shooting 34% from 3-point range. Deshaun Corbett, who's been able to chip in there, 8.5 boards, 13 points per game. And even someone like Bryce Johnson has been able to shoot 41% from 3. Chicago State as a whole, they shoot 33% from the outside. They've put forth some really good efforts recently, and the offense is starting to turn around for this team. They've been able to break the 70-point plateau in 3 out of their last 4 games, with the lone exception, 65 points played against Samford. You do fear that, because in the last few weeks, they've been traveling to Texas. They're going back to the eastern part of the country. They played against Coastal Carolina last week. They played against Samford last week. That could be taken a little bit out of them. But the good news is they're facing off against a Citadel team that has just been all over the place themselves. For the Citadel, they were able to get an 81-70 road win over Western Carolina about a week or so ago. But past that, 65 points or fewer on 4 out of their last 5 games. So this is a total that I did set at 138. I'm going to be willing to dive under. Citadel playing just a completely different style this year. And Anything of 1.5 or less one lay with the Citadel, 2.5 or more is my buy point on Chicago State. 869, 870 on the betting board. South Dakota, it's a road face-off against Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts, a 17.5 point favorite, and your total on this game, 153.5. I set my total at 153, so 153.5 beginning to be my buy point on the under. And with Oral Roberts, one lay the 17.5 with them. Nothing more than that as I made my number 18, but one lay the 17.5. For Oral Roberts, not necessarily the world's greatest effort against Omaha. They were only able to put 73 points up on the board. For them, that's very pedestrian, considering it's an Oral Roberts team that's in the top 35 in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis. And for Oral Roberts, they've only been held below 73 points twice all season long. That was to St. Mary's and Houston, which those are two very, very slow and very, very good defenses. You just take a look at this Oral Roberts team, and each out of your top seven scorers shoot at least 34.4% from three, with the man that shoots 34.4% from three being 7'5" Connor Vanover. He's able to give you 7 rebounds, 13.7 points, and 3 blocks per contest, while shooting 83% at the free throw line while standing 7'5". You got Max Asemus, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, making 93% of his free throws, 37.5% from the outside. Kareem Thompson chips in their 5 rebounds per game. It's a really well-rounded team. And then for South Dakota, you're going up against an Oral Roberts team that is 126th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. And I do think that it's going to be really, really difficult for them to be able to match up in this spot, because for South Dakota, it's been a defense that all of a sudden has been going down the tubes, giving up 75-plus points throughout their last 5 games, despite the fact that they rank in the bottom 100 in terms of total possessions per game. You don't have a lot down, though. Tazos Kamateros is a good 6'8 combo player, 12 points, 6 boards, shoots 39.5% from 3-point range. And then you do get 7 rebounds per game out of Damani Hayes. For South Dakota, they shoot 40% from 3. Clute Cruz, Padu Hunt, along with Tazos Kamateros and A.J. Plyswit, all combined to be able to give you about 38 points per contest, with Plyswit shooting 48% from 3-point range. I will say this for South Dakota. Each other top 5 scorers do shoot at least 80% free throw line, so that is a big boost for them. That said, this is a South Dakota team that they're just completely up against it. I think that they are outgunned in this circumstance. It's an Oral Roberts team that has been able to get to at least 70 points in all but one game thus far this year, and that game against Houston. So I do think that South Dakota going to be unable to slow down Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts has the goods in this spot. I did set my total at a 153, so you're at 153.5. Willing to dive under as you've got yourself an Oral Roberts team that slowed 72 points or fewer in each of their last 5 games, going up against a South Dakota team that plays at a relatively slow and controlled tempo. So a circumstance where I'm going to be looking at the under and want to lay up to 17.5 with Oral Roberts. 871, 872 on the betting board. UMKC plays host to South Dakota State. UMKC open up on a pick'em line. They are now between a 1.5 to a 2-point favorite, with your total between 131.5 and 132. And this is an ordeal where I did make UMKC the very slight favorite of 1.5 points. 2 is going to be beginning to be my buy point on South Dakota State. Personally, what I liked most was the pick'em line that we were seeing a little bit earlier. It seems to have dried up a little bit, because with UMKC, they do a good job of just throwing at you a bunch of different defenses. This is a UMKC team that they've got the second most efficient defense in the conference behind Oral Roberts, who we were explaining about a little bit earlier. 155th in the country is UMKC in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. So I will say, for South Dakota State, they've turned over a little bit of a new leaf. They're 171st in the country in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, giving up 2.3 points fewer per 100 possessions when they are on the road rather than at home. But now they have to go up against Jamari Allen, along with Quandis Mitchell, a pair of guys that have been combined for 35.5 points, about 9 rebounds, 4.5 assists. Allen gives you 2.2 steals per game and shoots 36.5% for 3. Mitchell, more in that pocket, about 32% from 3-point range. They've been dealing with the injury to Anderson Kopp all season long, but now they've got back the fold their main big men, Allen, David, and Becca Jr. He was missing for quite a while. Hasn't necessarily looked like himself in terms of rebounding in his first 2 games back. Now, he is coming off of a 4-block and 10-point game against Denver. Only had 4 rebounds in that game. Overall for the season, averaging 9.5 points, 7.5 rebounds per game. And in his absence, they were really able to find something in Jeff Ngandu. Ngandu has had a combined 13 rebounds since we have seen back at the fold David and Beckett Jr. But prior to that, he had a trio of games where he had 13-plus rebounds. So that is big for the UMKC team going up against the South Dakota State team that last year they were number one in the country in 3-point shooting percentage. Now they're shooting 33% as a collective from 3-point range in the bottom half of college basketball. They do have the best takeover player in Zeke Mayo, who does it all. He gives you a steal, 3.5 assists, assists, 6.3 rebounds, 17 points per game on 36% three-point shooting and 93.3% free throw shooting. And it's a South Dakota State team that they do shoot 80% at the free throw line. That's a top five mark in the country. From there, you've got guys like Matt Dettlinger, William Kyle, Charlie Easley, Alex Arians, all giving between 8 and 11 points per contest with Arians and Dettlinger. They both chip in their 5 rebounds per game. They do a good job of being able to facilitate by committee, and Kyle does give you a block per game. So South Dakota State has been able to play a little bit better on defense, and they've now become a little bit more of a mid-tempo team. If you look at games that have wrapped up in regulation, they've given up fewer than 70 points in each of their last 5 games. Against Western Illinois, that game was 69-69 going into overtime. So if you look at things that have wrapped up in regulation, the last time South Dakota State has given up north of 70 points is when they faced off against Oral Roberts on December 19th. So I believe that was 8 games ago. I am anticipating a little bit of a lower scoring slog, though. South Dakota State starting to get things going a little bit more with their scoring. I do think that you could be in for some late game fouling, and we've also noticed UMKC get past the 70-point plateau in 2 of their last 3 games. I did set my total at 135.5. Here at 132, 131.5, I'm going to be willing to go over 2 or more, going to be my buy point on South Dakota State. If we get back to the pick'em line that we saw on the open with UMKC, that'd be my buy point on them. 873-874 is the DK Nation pick. You've got Baylor on the road against Texas. Texas is back, being a slight favorite of between 2 and 2.5 points. Your total on this game, it is 150 to 151, mostly seeing 150.5, and DK Nishmik is going to be on the under. Semi-total at 145, and a big reason why, we have seen Baylor go through a little bit of a tempo shift. Baylor enters into this game on a 5-game win streak, but prior to this 5-game win streak, Baylor was ranked right around 70th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. They're now more around 145th. They've been playing at about 5.5 possessions fewer per game in this run. They are going up against a Texas team that they have been playing quite a bit more quickly, and I do think that their defense has suffered a little bit as a result. Texas currently 54th in the country in terms of total possessions per game, but I do think that they are going to rein it in, get back to their roots a little bit more, as it is a Texas team that does enter having their defensive woes. They've given up at least 75 points in 3 of their last 4 games, but even despite that, they are a team that ranks 36th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, doing a very good job of rebounding by committee, and really both of these teams do. You don't have a single guy on either side that gives you north of 5.7 rebounds per game, but Baylor has been the better rebounding team, which leads me to believe that they are going to be able to win this tempo battle. Now, Texas, they've been able to get some good production out of Marcus Carr, shooting about 41% from 3-point range. He's been able to chip in their 1.8 steals, 17.5 points per game, and Texas, they do a good job of being able to generate turnovers in the top 25 nationally in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis. This is Baylor team taking a little bit of better care of the ball, but still about 140th in terms of turnovers on a per-possession basis. They turn the ball over 12.5 times per game, and Baylor can be a little bit hot and cold with their 3-point shooting on the road. They're scoring about 10.6 points fewer per 100 possessions than they are at home, though you do have a trio of guys, LJ Cryer, Adam Flagler, and Keontae George, who have been able to combine for about 47.2 points per contest. George chips in there 3 assists, 4.5 boards. Flagler, 4.9 rebounds, 1.5 steals per game, and it is a Baylor team that shoots 75% of the free throw line. Baylor, in this recent run, they have given up 69 points or fewer in 4 of their last 5 games, with the lone exception being when they gave up 74. It's not even a team that is right now doing it on offense. 75 points or fewer in each of their last 5 games, so I do think that Baylor is going to be able to do a good job of being able to get things slowed down, but I do think that Texas, they just have a little bit too much depth in this spot, and they've been really good at home. You've got Timmy Allen along Serge Ibari, Bryce, Tyrese Hunter, giving you all between 10.1 and 10.5 points per game. They all give you between 3.3 and 5.1 rebounds per game, and all three guys give you at least 0.2 assists per game. Allen and Hunter, both between 3 and 3.5 respectively. You've got a team that they just are a well-oiled machine with this regard. Dylan Mitchell gives you 4.5 boards, 6.5 points per game. Materio Morris is able to chip in their 5.5 points. He's been able to do a solid job along the perimeter as well. So I take a look at Texas. I do think that the depth is going to be able to get to them. Baylor has had a couple close calls. Being able to get the win against Kansas was relatively rock solid, but they played a nip-and-tuck game against an Arkansas team that I'm not necessarily convinced is too terrific. And I do think that Texas is going to be able to get back to their defensive roots as well. I said Texas is a 4-point favorite. I'm going to be willing to lay the small number with a Longhorns, and my DK Nation pick, it is going to be on the total under, semi-total at a 145. This is the last game on the normal Las Vegas betting board before we hit the extra games, 875-876. Iowa State is on the road facing off against Texas Tech. Texas Tech is a 1-point underdog with your total 130. I actually said Texas Tech is a 1.5-point favorite. I'm going to be taking them out right on the money line. I recognize that Texas Tech does not have a conference win thus far, but this is an Iowa State team that is very banged up. They did not have Caleb Grill in their game when they went on the road against Missouri, and I think that that's really a big cog for this Iowa State team, an Iowa State team that ranks in the top 10 nationally in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, number one in the country in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis. They've been dealing with an injury to LJ Kunich as well. That has really hurt them, so that means that you really have to rely upon Teron Holmes along Gabe Kelscher, who combined for 27 points. They chip in there a little bit over 5 assists, 3 steals per game, and both shoot above 36% from 3-point range, but you can tell with Caleb Grill in slash out of the fold, this team was completely different. Now, I do like Taman Lipsby. Not going to give you a lot of offense, but chips in there 4.8 assists, 2 steals per game, so he's been very good for this bunch. And with Texas Tech, they've been dealing with that Fardos Amek injury all season long, but that said, you do have a Texas Tech team that, despite all the woes that they've been having, especially in conference play, this is still one of the better defenses in all of college basketball. It's not quite Iowa State good, but Texas Tech, currently 49th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. They do a good job of being able to generate 15-plus turnovers per game themselves. Kevin O'Banner has good versatility, 6.5 boards, 15.5 points per game. It's a Texas Tech team as a whole, shoots 34.5% from 3-point range. They have been dealing with a little bit of injury to Pop Isaacs. He did not play in the SEC Big 12 Challenge, but you've got Davion Harmon out there. Gives you 2 steals, 3.5 assists, 12.5 points per game. I also do think that you are going to be able to get a lot down low out of Daniel Bacho, who's been able to chip in their 6.5 rebounds per game. And then Jalen Tyson, nice versatile player. Doesn't necessarily provide a lot of scoring, but I still remember back towards the Texas swing that they had against Baylor and also Texas. He had a combined 31 points and 26 rebounds in that 2-game stretch. He's able to take over a game, be very versatile at 6'6". And I do think that Iowa State being shorthanded in this game is going to be resulting in a little bit of doomsday. I did set my total at a 131.5. You do have a Texas team that ranks right around 100th in terms of total possessions per game. I do anticipate a little bit of late game falling in with Iowa State. We've seen it with them the last 2 games. They've had a little bit of a defensive fall off with the injuries, giving up 76 and 78 points respectively. And you do have a Texas Tech team that they themselves given up at least 68 points in each of their last 5 games, so going to be willing to take the over. And with Texas Tech, set them as the very slight 1.5-point favorites, so taking them out right on the money line. Now we get the extra games.
The normal betting board picks are complete, but there are some extra games today, so we go into the bonus.
This starts with 306-501, 306-502. Colgate is going to be playing us a Loyola Maryland. Loyola Maryland is an underdog of 17.5 points, with your total between 137 and 137.5. And with Colgate, I set them as an 18-point favorite, 17.5. is the absolute max I'm willing to lay with them. Last time these two teams played, Colgate was able to get over 100 points, 101-67. I don't think that they're going to go 14 of 23 from 3 and 67% from the floor like they did the first time around. And this is a Loyola Maryland team that is pretty dreadful. Loyola Maryland, not an up-tempo team. They, as a matter of fact, are in the bottom 75 in all of college basketball in terms of total possessions per game. It has not led to them necessarily playing great on defense. Loyola Maryland, out of your 363 D1 teams, 277th in the country points allowed on a per-possession basis. I will give this to Loyola Maryland. They're actually giving up 5.1 points fewer per 100 possessions when they're on the road rather than when they are at home. But they have to go up against a Colgate team that has Tucker Richardson, who does it all. 14.5 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, 2.2 steals on 35% 3-point shooting. Colgate as a whole, they shoot 39.5% from 3-point range, a top 10 mark in the country, with Oliver Lynch Daniels shooting 45.5% from distance, 11.5 points per game. Keegan Records, along with Braden Smith, both give you 12 points per contest, respectively. And Loyola Maryland, if they're looking to knock off Colgate, they need to do it down low, and they don't have a ton. Golden DK has been able to give the team 6 rebounds per game, but really, he's one of 2 guys to give you north of 4 rebounds per game. Alonzo Faré has also been able to give you 8.5 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. For Loyola Maryland, they do shoot 34.5% from 3, but with their slow style, they also turn the ball over 14.5 times per game. Now they have to try to shut down a Colgate team that ranks in the top 15 nationally in terms of offensive efficiency, the amount of points that you score on a per-possession basis. I will say this for Loyola Maryland, they have now given up 67 points of fear in 4 of their last 5 games, but this is also a Colgate team that's dominating defensively, 65 points of fear surrendered by them in 5 out of their last 6 games. So I do think that things are going to be a little bit more in control than the 100 points that we saw surrendered, but I still think that this is a little bit too low of a number, as Colgate has just been running roughshod through this entire conference. I set Colgate as an 18-point favorite, 17.5 as a maximum on the lay, but won a lay and did make my total 140, so also going to be taking a look at the over. 306-503, 306-504. Norfolk State is going to be playing us at NC Central. NC Central, a 5.5 to a 6-point underdog, and your total is between 139.5 and 140. Set this number at 5.5. 6 is my buy point on NC Central. It's an NC Central team that has been one of your best against the spread teams at all of college basketball, and an NC Central team that is headlined by a guy that is Mr. Wright in Justin Wright, who's able to chip in their 15.5 points. She's 42.5% from 3-point range, 13 plus points in 4 of the last 5 games. I will say he's had a combined 12 turnovers in the last 2 games, which has caused for the team to lose their last 2 games. But NC Central, even despite that, 10-5-1 against the spread. They are going to need to shut down Joe Bryant Jr., who's been tremendous for this team. 17 points, 3 assists, shoots 34.5% from 3-point range for a Norfolk State team that typically they hang their head on defense, but they've been a little bit more of an offensive team this year. Norfolk State, of your 363 D1 teams, 287th in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. NC Central, they're 140th, but I will say this about NC Central. They are also allowing 17.4 points more per 100 possessions when they're on the road rather than when they are at home. You do have a guy in Chris Bankson that I like, though. 7.5 rebounds, 14 points per game. He is going to be matched up with the Brendan Medley Bacon Show, though, as the Medley of Bacon has been tremendous. He is a 7-footer, 11.5 points, 5.5 boards, about a block and a half per contest. He actually used to play in the MEAC for, I believe it was, Coppin State, and completely dominated a few years ago. He's been able to give the team a combined 9 blocks in the last 3 games. He's been able to contribute a double-figure amount of points in each of the last 5 as well, so he's really been able to hit some of his peak form. You've also got an NC Central team that gets 8 points, 5 boards, 5.3 assists, and 2.3 steals out of Eric Boone, who's been able to shoot in the mid-30s from 3-point range. NC Central as a whole, they're shooting 37.5% from 3-point range. And for NC Central, they put the clamps down on defense, allowing 67 points or fewer in 4 of the last 5 games. The lone exception is when they gave up 71 points. And if you're looking in regulation, because they had an overtime game that they played against Morgan State, the last time they have given up north of 74 points is when they played against Marquette, I believe, 11 games ago. Meanwhile, for Norfolk State, they're turning over a little bit of a new leaf, giving up 68 points or fewer in 3 out of their last 5 games. You do have guys like Dana Tate and Christian Ings that over the last 2 seasons have shot above 36% from 3-point range. Both of these guys are doing a nice job being able to contribute right in the neighborhood, about 8 points per contest for Tate, 10 points for Ng. So I do like the backcourt of Norfolk State, and I do think that Norfolk State were the deficitaries of a very, very tough schedule to begin the season. Now that they're playing against a little bit more of a regular schedule, we're starting to see them hit peak form, but I still think that this is an NC Central team that's being a little bit undervalued and a team that is playing some relatively solid defense. I do think that this is going to be a game that goes over, just because I do think that in terms of the sheer amount of possessions that you get, that you're going to be able to have it go over. Norfolk State has taken on a little bit of a new identity this year, going a little bit more offensive base. And you take a look at NC Central, 140th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. And you've also got a game that I think is going to be decided by right around 5 or so points. As I said, my number at 5.5, so it's going to lead to some late game fouling. So going to be taking a look at the over in this ordeal. So my total 143.5 and 6 or more is my buy point on NC Central. 306-505, 306-506. Alabama A&M is on the road facing off against Bethune-Cookman. Cookman is the 1-1.5 point favorite, total on this game, and between 142 and 143. And I did set Bethune-Cookman as a 2.5 point underdog. I'm going to be willing to side with Alabama A&M outright on the money line. I do think that the A&M backcourt is going to be able to win the day. And top of that, you've got a Bethune-Cookman team that is just absolutely dreadful on defense. Out of your 363 D1 teams, Bethune-Cookman currently 336th in the country, turns points allowed on a per-possession basis. Not to say Alabama A&M is some amazing defense, but you know what? 207th, a little bit more respectable, as the 7-footer and Olisa Blaze Okanobi should allow Alabama A&M to be able to control the paint. He comes in from Morehouse College, and he's been able to do a good job. 8 points, 5.5 boards, 2.2 blocks per contest. He's had multiple blocks in each of the last 4 games, and a double-figure amount of points, 3 of them as well, not known as much of a scorer. Typically, that's your backcourt duo in Messiah Thompson along Garrett Hicks. Hicks has been able to chip in their 1.7 steals on 47.5% 3-point shooting, 14.4 points per contest. Thompson, your main facilitator, 10 points, 3.5 assists, 1.9 steals, shoots 41.5% per 3 for an Alabama A&M team that they do shoot just 66% the free throw line, 15 turnovers per game, but they do shoot also a smoldering 38% from three-point range, and really this is one of your more up-tempo teams in the conference. 50th in terms of total possessions per game. Bethune-Cookman, they're not looking to run it and gun it as much, but they're still relatively fast, right around 90th in the country in terms of total possessions per game, and they've been really relying upon Zion Harmon for production. He's been able to do a solid job, a little bit over 14 points per contest from three-point range. He is shooting about 35% from the outside, but with this Bethune-Cookman team, you only got one guy that gives you north of 4.8 rebounds per game, and that's 6'6" Kevin Davis. Good versatility, 10.5 points, 6.3 boards, shoots about 34% from three-point range. It's a Cookman team that they turn the ball over about 13.5 times per game, but they've been dealing with so many injuries down low. Dylan Robertson has been out really since New Year's. Derek Carter-Hollinger, the 6'6" combo player who came in from Montana, has not played since early January as well. Joe French is not what he was last year in the backcourt. He shot 44% from three with 16 points per game. He's now shooting about 38% from three-point range, 9.5 points per game. He's so hot and cold. He had a 31-point game about 2.5 weeks ago against Mississippi Valley State. Ever since that game, he has put in there 26 points in his last four. So that's not too terrific for a Bethune-Cookman team that has certainly been hot and cold, but one thing that has been a constant, the fact that Bethune-Cookman is giving up points upon points. They've allowed at least 70 points in 6 out of their last 7 games. I do think that an up-tempo Alabama A&M team is going to be able to exploit this. Set Alabama A&M as a 2.5-point favorite. I'm taking them on the money line as an underdog. Made my total 144.5, so also looking at this total over. 306-507, 306-508. Delaware State hits for a face-off against Coppin State. Coppin State is a 6-7-point favorite, and your total it is between 149.5 and 150. Set Coppin State as a 9.5-point favorite. I'm going to be willing to lay. It's a Coppin State team that is in a massive rut right now. They have been rudderless in MEAC play, but that said, with Delaware State, this team has been relatively sad. They are coming off of 2 straight wins against Morgan State and South Carolina State. That is a flash in the pan, in my opinion. They're going up against a Coppin State team that has lost 5 straight games, but it is a Coppin State team that, you know, the offensive firepower is there. They're in the top 15 in terms of total possessions per game, with Sam Sessions being a top 10 scorer in all of college basketball. 21.5 points, 4.8 assists. Shoots 37% from 3. Coppin State as a whole, they shoot 33.5% from the outside, going against a Delaware State team that they're towards the bottom of all of college basketball in darn near every metric that you want to pull up. They're a bottom 10 offensive efficiency team out of 363 D1 teams, 347th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. At Coppin State, 355th in the nation in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. But that said, they're also allowing 18.6 points fewer per 100 possessions when they're at home rather than on the road. You've got Justin Sears down low, is able to give you 8.5 points, a block, 5 rebounds per game, and then to Tark along Sam Sessions combined for 4 steals per game, and they go up against a Delaware State team that is creating turnovers at a rate that would make Sara Lee proud. 15.9 turnovers per game, this despite the fact that they are 283rd in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Now, Brendan Stone is a 6'11" combo player that gives you 12 points, 5 boards, shoots about 31% from 3-point range, and been able to get about 9.5 points, 4.5 boards out of Martez Robertson, who's been able to shoot in the neighborhood about 39% from 3-point range. Delaware State, they do shoot 33% from 3-point range. They were the, I guess you'd call it, beneficiaries of some good 3-point shooting luck in their last 2 games against Morgan State and South Carolina State. This has been a squad that's not been able to exceed 66 points very often. They've been able to get past that plateau twice, and one of those games went to overtime. It is a Coppin State team that I'll say they've given up at least 90 points in each other last 3 games. So it's a good old situation of something's got to give. A Delaware State team that can't score and a Coppin State team that can't stop giving up points. I did set my total in the middle at a 143.5. I do think that things are going to be a little bit more controlled in this game. I do think that Coppin State going to be able to turn over Delaware State with their 2 guards in Tark along with Sam Sessions. So my total at 143.5, diving under with Coppin State, made them a 9.5-point favorite, so I'm going to be willing to lay the number. 306-509, 306-510. Morgan State plays host to Maryland Eastern Shore. The Shore is a 1.5-point underdog. Total is between 138 and 139, and with Maryland Eastern Shore, set them as a 2-point underdog. I'm going to be willing to lay the number with Morgan State. Not willing to lay anything more than 1.5, but willing to lay the 1.5 with Morgan State. You've got the top top two players out there on the floor. As you get 20 points per game out of Isaiah Burke. He chips in there 1.4 steals, 3 assists. She's 46% from 3. And Malik Miller, 6'4", just a complete stat sheet stuff. 17.5 points, 9.8 rebounds, 3.9 assists per contest. He has been amazing. Problem is, Malik Miller has been out the last two games, and I am expecting him to be out of the fold once again. So, that is not necessarily too terrific. Khalil Turner has been out of the fold, really, for the entirety of the new year. So, that means that Cameron Hobbs is going to need to help out Isaiah Burke in this spot. And Hobbs has been able to do a good job. He's been able to give the team a double-figure amount of points and 4 assists in each out of the last two games. He's able to shoot 47.5% from 3-point range, and they go up against the Maryland Eastern Shore team that their lifeblood is being able to create turnovers. This is a squad that they generate about 10.5 steals per game. Each out of their top 5 scorers and 6 out of their top 7 do give you at least 1 steal per game. You've got a trio of guys in Zion Styles, Tom Phillip, along Kayvon Foyles, who have been able to combine for about 34.5 points per contest. You don't necessarily get a lot of facilitation out of these guys, and it's a very top-heavy team in terms of rebounding for Maryland Eastern Shore, because you've got one guy that gives you north of 3.4 rebounds per game, Nathaniel Pollard Jr., 9.5 points, 8.5 boards, does chip in there 2.2 assists per game as a versatile 6'5", do-it-all sort of player, and then Styles does shoot 43.5% for 3 for a Maryland Eastern Shore team that is playing a little bit better with their offense. They've gotten past the 68-point plateau in 4 of their last 5 games, and Eastern Shore really riding this nice 5-game win streak because they have been able to lock down on defense, giving up 73 points or fewer in 4 of their 5 games in a MEAC that has won the most up-tempo conferences in all of college basketball. That's rather impressive as Maryland Eastern Shore, one of the slowest teams in this conference. They are 195th in terms of total possessions per game. You've got a Morgan State team that is not shy about just ripping it down your throat. Morgan State, 10th in the country in terms of possessions per game. So it's a good old circumstance of something's got to give. You've got a Morgan State team that's now allowed fewer than 71 points in each of their last two games after they were really giving up the points recently. And 71 points for fewer in 3 of their last 4. So I do think that things are going to be a mid-tempo in this one. I set my total at a 142. I do think that you have the possibility of some late game fouling, so I'm going to be looking at the over in this spot. And I do think that for Morgan State, they're doing a good job of mixing and matching while they're dealing with the Malik Miller injury, and I do think that you still have Isaiah Burke being the takeover player in this game. Willing to lay it with Morgan State, made them 2-point favorite. I'm looking at the over. 306-511, 306-512. Howard is going to be playing us to South Carolina State. South Carolina State is a underdog of 11 to 11.5 points. Your total is between 154 and 155. I set my number at 10. I'm going to be willing to take the 11 to 11.5 with South Carolina State. South Carolina State, just 3 straight up wins this far this season, but they've been very close recently. They have lost 6 straight games, but you take a look at these losses, and they've had just 1 loss in which was by more than 12 points. That was their most recent one against Norfolk State. They lost that game by 14, but this has been a rather competitive team. You've got a pair of guys in Lushon Holmes, coupled with Raekwon Gary, who both give you about 11.5 points per game. Gary chips in there, 3 assists, shoots 34% from 3. Holmes, he's able to shoot 38.5% for the outside. It's a South Carolina State team as not bashful about running it and gunning it. They're in the top 20 nationally in terms of total possessions per game for Howard. This team overall for the season is more around 50th in terms of possessions per game, but you take a look ever since conference play has started, and I don't think that there's been a single team with more of an upward tempo shift than Howard. They're playing like 6 to 7 possessions more per game in conference rather than out of conference, as Steve Settle III and Elijah Hawkins have been your headline scorers. Hawkins gives you 5.7 assists to 3.7 turnovers a game. Does shoot 47% from 3-point range. Big key for him is being able to reduce on the turnovers, because that has been a bugaboo for him all season long. But Settle III is 6'10". He's able to pop 3s, doesn't necessarily do so well, but gives you a steal and a half, 6 rebounds per game. And then you got just a lot of guys like a Jelani Williams, a Marcus Dockery, that are able to give you right around 9.5 points per game. Kobe Dixon has dealt with a little bit of an injury, but he's back in the fold after he was dealing with quite a bit of it. He's been able to give the team about 5 points. Comes in after he was at a Cornell team that played super duper fast as well last season. But I do think that for South Carolina State, they're going to be able to hold in there on the glass. Savion Everett has been able to give this team 6 rebounds per contest. You've got a team that in general has turned the ball over about 14.5 times per game. But Howard, they've had all sorts of turnover woes themselves, turning it over nearly 16.5 times per game. And I do think that South Carolina State is going to do a good job, be able to get a few turnovers in this game. I do think that for Howard, they are looking to play a little bit more defense. They started out the year playing a little bit more of a mid-tempo, and it is a South Carolina State team that they've been a little bit hot and cold with regards to their offense if you're looking in terms of games that have wrapped up in regulation, because they played an overtime game against Delaware State where they allowed 14 points in overtime, 71 points or fewer scored by them in each of their last four games. Meanwhile, it's a Howard team that has allowed 67 points or fewer in three of their last four. So I set my total at 152 diving under and willing to take the points with South Carolina State, 306, 513, 306, 514. Grambling is going to be playing against Alcorn State. Alcorn State is an underdog of 5.5 to 6 points, and your total's between 135.5 and 136.5. And with Alcorn State, I set them as a 5.5 point underdog. 6 is my buy point on them. It is a Grambling team that now has Kayatari Gordon back in the fold. A top recruit of, I'm not even kidding here, 2016, but he's been really their main man down low. 12 points, 7 rebounds per game. Returned for the first time in a few weeks in their game against Jackson State. Did not play his full allotment of minutes, only 14 minutes in this one. He typically averages more like 27 to 28. Had 5 points, 2 steals. I expect him to be a little bit closer to 100% in this game. And for Grambling, you do have a pair of guys in Shadarius Coward along Cam Christian, who've been able to combine for about 26 points per contest. They both shoot between 34.5 and 36% from 3-point range. But for Grambling, they do turn the ball over 15.5 times per game while shooting about 64.5% in the free throw line, while not even necessarily being an up-tempo team. Grambling, they're ranked right around 150th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. For Alcorn State, they're right around 120th themselves, and Alcorn State, it's one of those holes greater than the sum of its parts teams. You do have a top scorer in Dominic Bruton that does give you 13.5 points steal per contest, but for Alcorn State, they shoot 28.5% from 3-point range. You have just one out of your top 8 scorers that is able to shoot above 30% from 3-point range, but with that said, you've got a lot of guys like a Brian Joshua, Jeremiah Kendall, you're able to throw in there Dontrell McCorder. That'll give you between about 7 to 10.5 points per game. Keandre Montgomery, who began his career at Mississippi State, he's returned from injury for 10.5 points, 4 boards. He's been rock solid for this team. Alcorn State is able to generate about 8 steals per game, and this is a pair of teams that are two of your better defensive teams in this conference. Now with Grambling, they are by far the best defensive team on the SWAC in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. It's a team that ranks 44th in the country, but you know what? For Alcorn State, they've been able to improve a little bit. They are 223rd, but they've been giving up in their last three games about 7.5 points fewer per 100 possessions. You've got Kendall, who's able to give you 7 rebounds per game. He should be able to do a good job against a little bit of a hobble Gordon. And for this Alcorn State team, they have now allowed in regulation fewer than 70 points in 4 of their last 5 games. You've got a Grambling team that has allowed 70 points or fewer in 4 of their last 5 as well. So I do think that things are going to be relatively under control in this game. I did set my total at 133.5. I'm diving under with Alcorn State. We'll take 6 or more with them. 3-6-5-15, 3-6-5-16. Florida A&M is going to be playing us at Alabama State. Alabama State between a 1.5 to a 2-point favorite. And your total, it is between 124.5 and 125. For Florida A&M, set them as a 3-point underdog. I'm going to be willing to lay it with Alabama State now. Alabama State, a bottom 5 team in all of college basketball in terms of field goal shooting percentage, but you've got Range with Isaiah Range, who's been able to give you 14 points, ceiling apricot, shooting 44% from 3, and it's an Alabama State team that, though they don't shoot it well from the floor, they do shoot 74% at the free throw line. They turn the ball over 13 times per game. For this conference, that's not too bad. They're going up against a Florida A&M team that is in the bottom 100 in terms of total possessions per game. They rank 300 and 22nd in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, and Florida A&M is one of the worst teams at taking care of the ball in all of college basketball. Despite their slow tempo, 16.6 turnovers per game, they shoot 37.9% from the floor. Good news is they've been able to get Dominguez Stevens back at the fold. He was dealing with a little bit of an injury. Seton Hall transfer, who's been able to give the team right around 9.8 points per game, but you also got a Florida A&M team that has one guy that gives you north of 3.6 rebounds per game. That'd be Jalen Bates, and Bates has been able to do a solid job down low. He's giving you 7 rebounds, 9 points per contest, but you just need literally anything else. Jordan Tillman has been able to chip in their 10.5 points per game. He's coming off of a nice big goose egg after he had scored double figures in each of the previous 4, but this is a Florida A&M team that is just completely rudderless at this point. You take a look at their offensive outputs. The last time they were able to exceed 60 points, and keep in mind, they're going up against teams out in the SWAC, was against Southern on the 7th of January. They have scored 60 points or fewer in now 7 out of their last 8 games. I did, though, set my total at a 131 just because you've got an Alabama State team that is pretty shockingly bad on defense as well in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, 272nd. We had a pair of teams that are relatively bad on defense, a pair of teams that are having a tough time putting the biscuit in the basket. Something's got to give. I think that both of these teams are going to be approaching 65 in this ordeal, so I'm going to be willing to take a look at the over with Alabama State. I set them as a 3-point favorite, part of the reasoning for the over as well is that I do think that you get late game fouling with it being that close as well, but willing to lay up to 2.5 with Alabama State and looking at the over, and we wrap things up with 306-517, 306-518. Southern is going to be playing us to Jackson State. Jackson State is an underdog of 8 points, and your total between 146.5 and 147.5, and in this ordeal, I did set Southern as a 7.5 point favorite. 8 is my buy point on Jackson State. Jackson State has been very competitive recently as they were able to get a win over SMU on the road. They played within 10 points against both Mississippi State along with Michigan, and it's a Jackson State team that they don't necessarily have that one primary scorer, but they've got a trio of guys in the backcourt, Trace Young, Colty Young, Ken Evans, that have been able to do a good job. That as a collective, they've been able to average about 32 points per contest. You get a combined 3 steals out of them. They combine to shoot about 32% from 3-point range, but the guy that goes under the radar, began his career at Portland, is Chase Adams. Adams went down to the junior college level, and he doesn't give you a lot of scoring. Only about 6.5 points per game, but 3.4 assists, 1.2 steals per contest. He's actually coming off of double figures in each out of the last 4 games. He's had at least 5 assists in 4 of the last 5 games. He's a big reason why Jackson State has been a little bit more prolific with their offense recently. A Jackson State team that they do turn the ball over 16 times per game, and they're running into a Southern team that ranks in the top 30 nationally in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis. It is a Southern team that, in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, able to do a solid job with those turnovers, turning that into them being about 123rd in this metric. Jackson State leaving a little bit of something to be desired on the defensive side of things, 279th in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, but with Southern, don't have a single guy that gives you north of 4.1 rebounds per game. You have Brian Whitney, Tyrone Lyons, along with Bryce Etienne. They've been able to combine for, as a trio, 11 rebounds per game. They give you about 33.5 points per contest, and they all shoot at least 35.5% from three. Southern as a whole, they do shoot 36.5% from the outside. We have seen Southern be a little bit hit or miss in terms of their defense, though, giving up 68-plus points in 4 out of their last 5 games. It is a Jackson State team that they've been able to turn over a little bit of a new leaf recently, as they've given up now 66 points or fewer in 6 out of their last 8 games, so they've done a much better job on that side of things. It is a Jackson State team that they might not dominate down low, but having someone like a Trace Young, who I was mentioning before, give you 6 rebounds per game, that's big in one of these ordeals, and I like the way that you've seen Jamarcus Jones be able to turn it on for this team as well. Actually began his career at Southern, about 9 points, 3.7 rebounds per contest. He has had double figures in 3 of the team's last 5 games. He's able to generate just under a steal per contest as well. So I do think that Jackson State is going to be able to hold in there. I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a higher scoring game, with Southern playing at a bit of a more rapid pace as they rank in the top 50 in terms of total possessions per game. But that said, I think that we've went a little bit too high with both of these teams having their turnover woes. Semi-total 145.5 diving under, and with Southern, made them a 7.5 point favorite. So we'll take 8 or more with Jackson State, and that will wrap things up for the Monday edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. A big thanks to Jim Root for joining me in the last segment. Does amazing work over at the 3-Man Weave, and if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you have one of 2 ways to get further in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @JNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, maybe it does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review, coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season. It means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.